Good morning, everyone. We're out here in Seattle. And Adora, you know, not a week goes by in the last really half year that we haven't been talking about all the tough choices that are facing legislators in Congress, of course, the new president at the White House, but also in corporate boardrooms and straight down to state houses and city halls. Communities are facing tough times by having to deal with very tough choices. And while we're out here in Seattle, we thought we would take a look at one story of some tough choices concerning Seattle schools and decisions that are being acutely felt in some African-American neighborhoods. And we're joined now by Phyllis Fletcher, a reporter for KUOW, the public radio station serving the Puget Sound region, in the studios right where I am now. Phyllis, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
This is an emotional story here in the city of Seattle about the closing of five schools, insignificant detail for a city of a half million, right?
Yeah, I would say so. There's, in the end, five schools closing means 1,700 kids are going to have to find a different school to go to next year.
And to give us some perspective on how unusual this is for a community, we've got Michelle McNeil with us, who's a writer for Education Week. She joins us from Baltimore, Maryland, from the studios of WEAA. Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Well, first of all, Phyllis, let's meet some people who had a reaction to what was really a shocker of a story here in Seattle when it broke.
Yeah, let's meet a mom from Cooper Elementary School in West Seattle. It's a school that serves mostly poor children. It's a pretty well-integrated school. It's one of those schools that, like when Jonathan Kozol came to Seattle about 8 years ago, the district like propped it up as an example for him to come and do his photo op and as part of his book tour. And he praised this school as being the kind of school that had the facilities and programs that poor children don't normally get access to. And here we hear from a mom whose son goes to Cooper, and she's already been through the school district's last school closure process, so you can hear that she's a little fed up at this point.
I hate to think that my son will have to go to one more school before he's even in middle school. This will be number four if this school closes this year. That's ridiculous. And as a parent, I mean, I want him to be in a school that meets his needs academically, you know, educationally, I mean, and just supports him. And this school, we found it here. And now, you know, it's upsetting, to say the least.
Wow.
Yeah.
Set the scene. What was this meeting like that you were?
Well, this was a public hearing at Cooper Elementary. It's required by state law. Board members have to attend it when a school building is going to be closed. And parents had the opportunity to get up and speak, and a lot of them sounded just like her. The little jazz band at Cooper played. The janitor got up and spoke and specifically thanked the white people for coming and sending their kids to a school. He feels that integration is a key to moving forward in education. That was the tone of this meeting.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues that are behind this. Is it budget cuts? Is it sort of racial demographics changing in the city? What's the rationale for closing these, you know, what sound like community centers?
The rationale is budget cuts that are coming from the state, the general downturn in the economy, and also the need to overall improve education. The superintendent believes that by doing some restructuring, she'll be able to improve some of these schools.
Michelle McNeil from Education Week, how unusual is it for a budgetary crisis to precipitate in the actual closure of schools in a way that is really causing so much trauma here in some neighbors in Seattle?
Sadly, I don't think it's that uncommon, and I think it's going to get all the more common as school districts continue to make tough decisions in terms of their own budgets, just like we're all doing, you know, at home with our budgets. And school buildings are expensive to operate, and especially in big districts that have a lot of buildings, they can move kids around pretty easily. So I think this is a sign of things to come, unfortunately.
Michelle, how does this play out politically? I mean, we've certainly heard the story of base closings and how, you know, suddenly bases are like the most important thing to the economic tax base of a community. And they're closed, then they're open, then they're closed, then they're open. Do schools that are slated for closing generally close, or is there some last minute appeal and there's always having your cake and eating it too politically?
I think you see it based community by community. You have a lot of a lot of it depends on how strong your parent groups are. If you have some really powerful parents at a particular school, sometimes they can sway the school board. But I think things are very different right now. I think there's a lot less leeway in school districts to decide to keep open schools. Schools don't have a lot of choices on where to cut. You know, and closing school buildings is a a natural thing to consider. So politically, a lot of parents don't have a lot of other options. If a school district says we're closing, they're going to have to go to the school where the district tells them to go.
Well, the federal government theoretically has $150 billion worth of stimulus money, Phyllis, on its way to localities like Seattle. Is there any sense that parents or educators or politicians in Seattle believe that money is on the way, resources are on the way?
Well, you know, a lot of people brought that up, but the superintendent kept coming back to, you know, this is also a matter of the fact that we have declining enrollment and we have a lot of empty seats now, and we just can't afford, it's not sustainable to keep these schools open when they're almost half empty. But, you know, people are very attached to their schools. And Michelle's right. A lot of parents are successful in getting their schools off a closure list, specifically if they have an organized PTA with money. Those schools repeatedly get off the list. Some of those schools have been on a closure list 3 times in the last 5 years in Seattle, and they keep getting off.
So it's a long sort of narrative with lots of twists and turns. Let's meet some other folks that you met at that meeting who can describe a little bit of the racial politics that are behind some of this school closing issue.
Yeah, you know, there was this funny thing that happened at the final school closure meeting where they had heightened security. They were enforcing all their rules. And one of their rules, supposedly, that I'd never heard of before, but a new rule that night was no standing, although about a dozen people stood during the entire meeting. But the district chose to enforce the rule on one person. And the media immediately jumped up and followed him out. And this is why.
Because the only reason anybody's paying attention right now is because I happen to be the president of Seattle King County branch of the NAACP. The only reason that people are paying attention right now is because I've suggested that perhaps litigation needs to be filed against this particular school district.
Oops. So the school district accidentally, maybe, kicked out from its meeting the president of the Seattle chapter of the NAACP. And the lawsuit he was referring to would be a lawsuit that would possibly keep some of these schools open, he hopes. It has not been filed yet, but he's concerned because a lot of the schools that did end up staying on the closure list primarily serve black kids and or poor kids.
I want to ask you this question first, Phyllis, and then I want to ask Michelle, because Adora and I talk about this as we are trying to evaluate the stimulus package all the time, that the motivation for the stimulus package, $900 billion or whatever, is to save the economy. But all of a sudden, in a bill like that, with a crisis like that, there are opportunities for other things to throw things into the bill which maybe aren't directly related. Do you see an opportunity, a crisis opportunity being taken by educators and state politicians in Seattle that partially motivates the closing of these schools?
You know, it could be, because that is something that's always brought up in this round of closures. But Seattle also had school closures in 2006, and those closures were initially proposed in 2005. So our superintendents here have tried to close schools a number of times just in the last few years, just based on our overall declining enrollment.
Michelle, give us the last word. Is it possible that a crisis is going to be cover for politicians to make some steps they wouldn't have maybe the guts to do in another time?
I think that very well could be the case. This gives them, you're right, political cover to make tough decisions that they wouldn't otherwise be able to make, that would be unpopular and undoable in other times. But as we all know, these are extraordinary times, so there might be some extraordinary decisions being made.
Well, as we see, an emotional story here in Seattle, Washington, with the closure of 5 schools, and again, we don't know what the outcome is. It's just beginning. But a national trend, if we're to believe Michelle McNeil, that communities around the nation are going to be facing these same kinds of issues. Michelle McNeil, writer for Education Week, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Phyllis Fletcher, right here in the studios of KUOW in Seattle. Thanks so much for bringing this story to light for our national audience. Thanks so much, Phyllis.
You're welcome.
John, it's clearly a trend. I mean, it's not just public schools, but also private schools. We looked at some Catholic schools a couple of weeks ago, and there are Catholic school closures across the country also happening.
It's interesting, this crisis cover to make tough political decisions that, you know, are kind of under the radar because everyone's looking at the big picture. That's an interesting trend, it seems to me.
And it sounds very difficult.
Well, it's an emotional story here in Seattle, and it was all over the front pages when we got here, that's for sure.